You are listening to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show, all about real estate edition, shining a light on the movers and shakers in the real estate industry, the home builders, developers, realtors, and suppliers making it all happen.
Good morning. Welcome back to Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio. I'm your host, Carol Morgan, and I'd like to give a shout out to our sponsor, Denham Marketing. Celebrating our 25th anniversary in 2024, Denham Marketing works to make marketing a comfortable fit. So give us a call if you need original content for social media, public relations, marketing campaigns, email, or blogging. Well, there are a lot of questions about what the NAR settlement means for today's buyers. And I'm very fortunate to be joined in studio today by a repeat guest that has a ton of knowledge on the subject. So welcome to the show, Jeremy Crawford, President and CEO of FMLS.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here, Carol.
It's nice to have you back. I think we were talking off air. It's been way too long. So we'll have to remedy this moving forward and make sure we have you on more frequently.
Absolutely.
Give us a quick overview of FMLS.
Absolutely. We're the fourth largest multiple listing service in the nation. We service more than 57,000 real estate professionals, brokers, agents, appraisers, home inspectors, et cetera, for that home buying and selling process. Our mission is really to help brokers and agents transact real estate so they can fulfill the American dream of home ownership for their clients, be it buyer or seller. We've been in business since 1957. One facet that's interesting to note is we're one of the few privately owned multiple listing services in the nation. So we are not affiliated or owned by the National Association of Realtors, and there's roughly about 25 MLSs in the nation that are not owned or affiliated with the National Association of Realtors. But we're just proud to be here in Georgia and to help our customers, the brokers and agents, to help their clients in everything that they need in real estate, product, services, training, and technology.
Absolutely. So it kind of brings up an interesting question. Because you're not affiliated with NAR, you don't really have to comply with the settlement. Is that correct?
That is correct. And it actually goes a little further back than that. The National Association of Realtors provides rules and regulations, policies and procedures that NAR owned and or operated and affiliated MLSs must follow. Many of those rules are developed by input from brokers and agents and legal counsel. A lot of them are very sound. Unfortunately, a couple of facets of those rules had led to NAR and some brokerages being named in the Sitzer class action lawsuit, which is where we are today of the settlement that is pending judge approval for the large settlement that's coming about, as well as practice changes that realtor-owned MLSs must implement and follow.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm assuming that FMLS is going to make some changes in relation to this as well, or is that a bad assumption?
Well, there's a lot of misinformation and assumptions out there, Kira.
Right, absolutely.
FMLS as an organization, we were not named as a defendant in the Sitzer case. We actually did not ever adopt and implement mandatory rules that required an offer of compensation to list your property in FMLS, as compared to other realtor-owned MLSs. And so as such, we were not part of the settlement. We could have opted into the settlement, but we chose not to do so, as many other broker-owned and privately-owned MLSs did, as we weren't named as a defendant. And also, one of the items that came under contention that is part of the settlement is buyer agency agreements. In the state of Georgia, through state licensing law at GREC, we've had buyer agency agreements for 3 decades now. I believe they came about in 1991. Right. And I will tell you, Carol, my personal experience of living in Tennessee, California, Ohio, et cetera, and Texas, when I came to Georgia in 2019 to buy a house, my agent handed me a piece of paper that was a buyer agency agreement right before we started showing. And I had never seen that in my career in the real estate industry or my personal life of buying and selling homes. So that was something very new to me in 2019 I wasn't familiar with. And I believe there are 18 states that have some aspect of buyer agency agreement. However, one of the facets of the NAR settlement is that those that are part of the settlement, realtors, brokerages, and those that are members of NAR-owned MLSs or affiliated, must have a buyer agency agreement nationally now before the buyer agency can show a home to a consumer in the process. So it's something we've had since 91 in the state. It's something that's nationally part of the settlement. The caveat, though, is now multiple listing services must be on the hook to enforce compliance of buyer agency agreement. And in the state of Georgia, we've had GREC, that's the governing law and body and enforcer of buyer agency agreement. So now that ownership moves to multiple listing service that are realtor owned, that is a very large task to undertake, because you can imagine hundreds of thousands of consumers are touring homes on a regular basis with sometimes more than one buyer agency representation through their process. And so now the onus on those realtor-owned MLSs is to have to police and enforce that those agreements are signed. And yeah, that is quite the undertaking, one that FMLS currently today in its current practice has not. Your original question was, what changes have we made?
Right.
Quite frankly, we have not. We have left our fields available. We have taken a position of consumer transparency. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we provide in FMLS is the most accurate data for the real estate industry to our brokers and agents. And having data that is missing components to us is not fully transparent or serving our brokers right, and agents, and it doesn't help them serve their consumers. And so for today, we have retained the fields that are designated as offers of compensation from the seller to the buyer agency. However, with us, those fields have always been optional. So the agents can choose to use them or choose not to use them. They don't even have to touch the fields if they don't want to touch those fields. There's right, a compensation comments field that we allow for that they could put anything in, something as simple as call agent for details. And those fields are also transported out to all of the real estate websites. So the consumers see the same set of transparent information that the FMLS brokers and agents see.
Right.
And we also still support concessions. Concessions are a slightly different facet in right, the real estate industry. Sellers are oftentimes willing to help, maybe throw in a home warranty to the buyer, uh-huh, closing, which would be considered a concession. We allow for concessions prior to the lawsuit and litigation as well in an optional manner. And we do the same today from that perspective. So we really haven't changed our practice.
Right.
Many of our practices that came in concern with the litigation that we were not named in were things that we didn't have in place or things that they noted that we did have in place, such as compensation fields are totally optional. FMLS does not arbitrate, mediate, or get involved in the offer of compensation. We provide fields in the database for the listings that the agents can use at their discretion, be it, is it a waterfront property or does it have an offer of compensation on it or don't use it. So it's always been optional from the FMLS perspective. So we've stayed status quo while we see how things shake out in this industry, because yeah, they're still moving. It's not over. Well,
it's interesting. So I have to roll back. So first of all, wait, what? Georgia's ahead of the curve on something? It's yes, fantastic that, you know, buyer brokerage agreements have been in place since, I guess you said, 1991. So it's just good business here in Georgia. But, you know, I guess the other thing that you said that was interesting is transparency. And to me, you know, the whole NAR settlement was an attempt to bring transparency to buyers. But part of me feels like it's done anything but bring transparency to buyers. I think it's added a whole layer of confusion. But, you know, talk a little bit about what the settlement means, you know, for real estate transactions from the buyer's perspective.
Well, unfortunately, to your point, we do feel that more information in the home buying process is better for the consumer at the end of the day.
Right.
And there have been major efforts by the National Association of Realtors, by brokers, by agents, by MLSs, be it NAR owned or not owned, to be more transparent. Mm-hmm. There was a time when fields about offer of compensation in many MLSs were only exposed to a broker and agent, not the consumer. Many years ago, that was modified in NAR policies as well as other policies. there are many policies that have been added to increase transparency, to do things such as eliminate or discourage dual agency on a single property where the agent represents the buyer and the seller. Many brokerages in their own house won't allow for that due to the liability and the risk. Mm-hmm. And the buyer agency agreement that we have in Georgia is transparent paperwork to tell their buyers, hey, we are going to get paid for our services. Our services are not for free. Unfortunately, we all can't work for free in this economy and the world that we live in. And so the buyer agency agreement we have in Georgia that many states didn't have was also for transparency purposes, that the buyer agency is getting paid in some perspective, and that could be paid by the seller, if you will. And so in the lawsuit and in the settlement, we have seen the removal on August 17th of those offer of compensation fields from the MLS. And so that information is no longer readily available to brokers and agents. They also cannot put that information on their website of listings that are not their own. So they cannot advertise the information. And unfortunately, when we deal with mortgages and a topic of affordability, and knowing that the down payment process is one of the most difficult hurdles for new home buyers, we have a scenario where the new home buyers are in a different marketplace to where they now may have to consider coming up with the fees to pay their buyer agency and their buyer brokers and their buyer agents, where in the past it was much more customary that it was part of the process. With that being said, Carol, I have listings dating back for 20, 30 years where an offer of compensation was not available in the MLS. We didn't require it, so people at times said, there is no offer of compensation. You will have to take care of that with your buyer in some respect, or maybe that's just a negotiable topic when you get to the offer process back and forth between the seller and the buyer, because as you know, there's so many facets of negotiation in the process. And this is also a lending challenge. The loan process has historically not allowed the buyer to have compensation go into the buyer agency as part of the VA loan.
Right. Yeah.
Strictly prohibited. They've put in some temporary releases, if you will, on some of those mandates. But the entire process for buying a home now is a little more complicated, and it may be more expensive for the down payment and closing perspective for the buyers, and less transparent because they can't find the information on the internet as easily as they could.
Yeah. You know, when you think about it, if the buyer is now expected to pay for their own representation, you know, especially out of pocket, you know, how is that going to change the way that they shop for representation? Or, you know, do you think that maybe it means they're not going to have an agent represent them? Where do you see that going?
Well, being a home buyer and a home seller and being in this real estate industry, I would never not use a professional because there are so many facets that no matter what I know in the real estate industry and my background, that I don't know about zoning of a property or flood risk of a property or school districts of a property. There's so many things in different areas. When you live in Dallas, you worry about concrete slabs and the slabs breaking and shifting because there's sand underneath. Right. As a buyer coming from California, I did not know that information. And so doing the transaction without a professional is very similar to doing other complicated transactions where you do hire professionals and you pay them slightly different. You may need an attorney to write your will. Mm-hmm. You normally don't write your will yourself, and you normally pay that attorney to write that will for you, which is another area of professional services. So I think that buyers in their best interest are still going to want to use a professional to help them with what is usually the largest purchase they make, and a purchase they only make every 5 to 7 years on average. So they're not familiar with doing it on a regular basis, if you will. So I think it's more about trusting the professional that you're using and being comfortable knowing that you may have to pay the fee that at one point historically was often potentially paid by the seller. And it's, in this instance, it still might be paid by the seller in full or in part in some manner. So that process is still available today. And sellers are still going to be willing to sell their home and offer some aspect to help the buyer get in that home. And maybe if the down payment is the only hurdle there, they can work something out. So I don't think we're going to lose using a real estate professional. With the onset of the internet, the scare 20 years ago was we'll never use a real estate professional because now all the data is out on the real estate portals. And contrary to that fear factor, agents are used more today than they were 20 years ago. And I think that more information has led the consumer to know they don't know what they don't know. And so I think that it's more about how do we navigate the new complexities? How do we have regulatory bodies shifting what they do? How do we have loan entities, governmental entities, those type of organizations being able to help? Because I know we're in an election year and I won't speak to politics, but I will tell you every campaign I see talks about housing affordability. And it is at the top of mind for governmental officials all the way through the ranks to those that are middle to low that can't afford the rent in the Atlanta marketplace, if you will.
Right. Absolutely. Golly, so many great nuggets that you have in there. I, you know, and I agree with you. Everybody thought, oh, the internet, we're not going to need agents anymore. You know, I think that the co-broke rate in Atlanta runs, what, 87% or so? It's pretty high.
Oh, absolutely. If not higher. It truly is. And much of those numbers also are factoring in investors.
Right.
Corporate staff that take care of the transactions for them. So it's really much higher if you're looking at just a traditional buyer and seller outside of the investment community.
Yeah.
Crafting the perfect marketing strategy is like constructing the perfect pair of jeans. You need all the right components and expertise. Unlike trying on a dressing room full of jeans, denim marketing makes the process painless and easy. Denim marketing is the market leader in creating quality, original content for home builders, developers, remodelers, and others in the industry. Call 770-383-3360 or email Carol at denimmarketing.com to find out how denim marketing can be a comfortable fit for your social media, public relations, marketing campaigns, email marketing, blogs, and other marketing needs.
Well, you know, the other thing that we've all kind of bantered around in the home building industry is that, you know, we're starting to see builders offer different commission or compensation structures, such as, you know, maybe they're just paying the commission on the base price of the house, but not any of the upgrades or not any of the, you know, buyer concessions. You know, how is that shift going to affect buyers, you know, and real estate professionals?
Well, I think, and again, historically, similar to the internet analogy, home builders for a long time were about the consumer coming to them individually for the track home and working out and negotiating the deal directly without an agent.
Right.
And over the past 10 to 15 years, we have seen the home building community see the value of the buyer agency representation. And they have created more relationships with the agent community. And we have entities like New Home Source, DDX, two companies out of Austin that work specifically to take builder inventory and put it in the multiple listing service and to provide buyer agency incentives and compensation when they weren't doing that 20 years ago. And maybe that shift happened in 2009 and 2010 when they were sitting on a lot of inventory they couldn't move and knew the real estate professionals could help connect them with buyers and the buyer pool that they had. So I think they've grown towards helping the buyer agency and the buyer in the process. And I think to your point, it's more about concessions. And oftentimes in the new home construction, we see more aggressive concession package offerings to the consumer to get upgrades and features they want in a new home build.
Right.
And some facets between a construction loan that converts over to a conventional loan. But at the end of the day, we see our agents still working with them. They will put a buyer agency agreement in place because they're used to it in the state of Georgia. It's not new. And they'll take that buyer with them to the new home constructions. And we now have many of the top builders in Atlanta are FMLS broker members. So Toll Brothers, D.R. Horton, they're all FMLS broker members. Their listings are within FMLS. They do provide some level of offer of compensation to those agents who have a buyer community that would mm-hmm. have interest and bring them a buyer. And so I think the process there is still going to be the same for the builders. They're still going to offer opportunities for the buyer and the buyer agency who brings the buyer in. So I think that there's not going to be as much changed in that community as we've seen that's going to be changed in how agents work with a realtor-owned MLS, as well as their brokerage community and their thought process on risk analysis and the way that they do business based upon past, current, and present and future pending litigation that's out there in the industry that talk about a lot of these facets.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other thing we've talked about a lot, and you and I talked off air a little bit about this, is comparing the U.S. to other countries. You know, in other countries, a lot of realtors aren't paid on commission. They have a, you know, a base salary, or they're just salaried employees. You know, do you think this settlement might push the U.S. to a completely different compensation structure for agents?
What I find comical about this is oftentimes we're very in our own little world and we don't think internationally. And last year, I participated in the first international MLS forum, which was hosted in Paris. There were 38 countries represented, including the United States and Canada. And it was eye-opening to me the level of dysfunction that exists mm-hmm. in the international marketplace. And you can take a look at different companies are completely different. Different countries are completely different. And when you look at the entire country of India, a lot of the real estate deals are between families on napkins. There's not professionals involved, so there's not compensation involved. It's cash deals. There's no title insurance because there's no title. It's a family trust of handshake that you own this property. And then you go to France, and the government has to approve the sale and the deed recording. And in Fulton County, you can get a deed recorded in 72 hours. In France, you can drop down $5 million in cash, and you will not have the keys to that property for 2 years. Because
wow.
the government will set on the closing for a year or 2 years, because that is their process. And by the way, there's a 20% transfer tax to the buyer and the seller. So wow. when you look at the cost of doing business in the real estate industry, many people in France realize once they bought the home, they may not have to pay their, you know, seller and let the seller offer up a certain percentage, but then they're going to get hit with a transfer tax of 20% in France. And so we look at the different marketplaces internationally, and they're actually envious of the United
exactly.
States.
Exactly. Yeah.
They literally are the consumer, and we talked about transparency. So when you're in the European marketplace, it's an open listing environment for a consumer to find a home. They can go to a real estate portal. That portal may have 40 copies of the same home for sale by 40 different brokerages.
Wow.
And guess what? It sold 2 years ago and they never updated the records because there's no data accuracy in the marketplace.
Right.
And the best way you can shop for a home in France or in Italy or in Germany is to literally physically go to every broker
Driver.
Office in yeah. person and go see what's in their filing cabinet, which is what we had in the 70s.
Right.
And so the reality is if you took an analysis of the buyer cost of doing business and the seller cost of doing business and the transparency and the accuracy of the data and the things that we have like title insurance is actually very inexpensive because mm-hmm. of the governmental assessor's recording process and the transferability of those facets, we're in a great shape. Canada is in a great shape. It's very similar to the U.S. market with multiple listing services and similar transactions. And I'm going to be in Milan this year. We actually now have over 50 countries represented. And
wow.
we're going to hear from others. And right now in Romania, they're putting together a countrywide MLS and they're modeling it after the US and they're including offer of compensations in the process so that buyer agency agreements and seller agency agreements have some level of cooperation between the two so that they could do what FMLS was formed to do in 1957, which was brokers saying, I have listings, I need buyers, and other brokers saying, I have buyers, I need listings. And then they said, let's create FMLS and we'll cooperate for the good of the consumer. So I think the good of the consumer is still at the broker's forefront, our forefront at FMLS. And when we compare to the international marketplaces, it's amazing how well we have it in the United States with structure and accuracy of data and the ability of those real estate professionals to provide you all of the details that you need. And their value proposition is well worth every bit of what they get. It's well worth the services that they provide and the peace of mind that they provide along the process of home inspection, zoning, all of those facets that they can help out with the consumer.
Yeah, I just think it's fascinating. You know, the grass is greener here as it relates to how we do real estate, which was exactly the point I wanted you to drive home, is that, you know, here we have this model that the world thinks is wonderful that's just been, you know, kind of turned topsy-turvy. But, you know, I think, you know, we'll work through this and it's all going to be fine. And clearly Georgia's, you know, decades ahead of everybody else. So we're in great shape.
Absolutely. And not only just from the buyer agency agreement perspective, the Georgia Association of Realtors has a phenomenal forms division. So the contracts that the brokers and agents use in the state of Georgia are phenomenal. They have been extremely well vetted. We also in the state of Georgia have an attorney that's required at closing. Most states do not require an attorney at all. That was my first experience, was having to use a closing attorney. I had never used a closing attorney before in Tennessee, in Ohio, in Texas, and in California. That was another new facet to me, that there was a closing attorney required during the process of closing. And so we have a very well thought out structure for forms and for contracts. And they're not, to me, overly complicated. There are other forms that states provide that are very lacking in detail, very confusing, too simplistic, or just too long. And in Georgia, it is really well compared to states around us in the forms process and in the GREC licensing law process, compared to many others. So we sometimes know we're in the South, and people might think we might be a little bit slow in the South, and I'm from East Tennessee, so I completely understand growing up in the Appalachian Mountains, but the reality is we have a great state association, we have great closing attorneys providing insight, we have great state licensing law, and you put all those things together, and we have a lot of things that were already in place that the settlement is just now talking about.
That's fantastic. Well, clearly, GREC and FMLS are worlds ahead of everyone else. And to that point, before I let you go, where can listeners get more information about you and FMLS?
Absolutely, FMLS.com. Everything is there for the consumer, for the broker, for the agent, and all those other facets like the appraisal and home inspections that we support, as well as our technology vendors, where we feed data to thousands and thousands of destinations for various broker and agent products, websites, consumer display, all of those aspects. So FMLS.com is the easiest way to find us. If you want to find me, Carol, it's just jeremy@FMLS.com. It's as easy as it gets.
Super easy. Well, with that, I'm going to say it's a wrap of this week's Atlanta Real Estate Forum. Jeremy and I could talk all day, but we don't have time for that, unfortunately. I want to thank Jeremy Crawford, President and CEO of FMLS, for joining me in studio today. On behalf of our show sponsor, Denham Marketing, I'm your host, Carol Morgan. If you enjoyed today's show, please go to iTunes and give us a positive rating and review. If you want to make sure you never miss an episode, then you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, shoot me an email, carol@denimmarketing.com, and let me know what you'd like to talk about. With that, thank you for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you right here again next week.
Today's episode was made possible by Denim Marketing, the publisher of Atlanta Real Estate Forum, Atlanta's favorite real estate blog and source for real estate news, trends, new home communities, model homes, builders, and more. Denim Marketing is a comfortable fit, like your favorite pair of jeans. Denim Marketing tailors marketing strategies to meet your specific needs and niche. Try them on for size. They will work to create a perfect fit for your company's marketing program. Call them at 770-383-3360 or send an email to info@denimmarketing.com. For more information on Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio or to inquire about being a guest, contact info@atlantarealestateforum.com. Check out the radio show by visiting atlantarealestateforum.com or by listening to the show on your podcast or iTunes app. And if you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a rating and review on iTunes. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show.